Welcome to The Compassionate Mind, your guide to self-compassion and emotional well-being. I'm Ashley Daniel, your host. Join us each week as we explore practical tools and insights to nurture kindness towards ourselves and others. All right, let's start a new episode. So we have completed our series on shame. And now I thought it would be a good idea to do a bit of a recap about my experience of doing the podcast so far. This sort of links back to the imposter episode and some of the things we talked about there, and maybe some real world application, right? A little meta, if you will. So we're going to talk about doing the podcast so far. What has my experience been like, and what are some of the aspects of shame, and how did I push through it to actually end up being really excited and having some a new perspective about doing this whole thing. So starting this podcast was really interesting. It was definitely something, like I mentioned in the imposter episode, a lot of things in my career have really felt like sort of stumbling from one door into the other. And I think a lot of therapists I've talked to have described their career in that way, like stumbling from one opportunity into the next. And it has been a very interesting experience. The only way that would really work for me is being able to be open to whatever opportunity comes in. And really doing this podcast was no different. It really came sort of a spur of the moment. Definitely something I have always dreamt of doing, but I think like so many of us, we can have these different dreams and different ideas, but believing we can actually do it is a whole other conversation. Like I believe I want to do these things. I have these ideas. I have these thoughts, but can I do it? Am I capable? Do people actually want this? Those kinds of things can often come up, right? And those are all things I have constantly struggled with, because a door will be open and my first thought is, should I do this? Am I capable? Is this really the right thing for me? Should somebody else do this? It's kind of funny because I tell my students this all the time, because of course, as students, they struggle with imposter syndrome all the time. But I've told them, even me as a therapist, you know, I've been working as a therapist now for 8 years, right? 2016, for 8 years now. And I think it's been interesting because when I have a client come in, and maybe they have a really difficult, maybe they're going through something, right? They're really going through something intense, a crisis or a trauma. And I've had times where I'm like, oh man, they should really see somebody, but I'm the one seeing them. I'm their therapist. So it's just that imposter syndrome that still creeps up, right? Years later, that I'll be sitting and listening and thinking, oh my gosh, I'm your therapist. I'm the one who's helping you through this. But I think it's very natural. And there's something in being able to just accept, I'm not going to always feel like I am the best all the time. There's going to be moments where I'm like, wow, I am vibing with this client. I really did the best I could. I really helped them through this moment. And I lean into those moments. When I feel, wow, I really can see the work I put in. I can see that God is using me, or I can see that in this moment, I really responded the way I should have. I will take those moments, I will package them, and I will look at them anytime I feel overwhelmed. And that has been a real help for my imposter syndrome. I acknowledge those moments where I'm like, oof, should I be the one doing this? Is there anyone else who should be doing this, right? I have that as a professor too. Like, I have a lot of moments like that as a professor because it's a newer profession for me, relatively. And I'll have moments where I'm thinking, wow, I'm grading these people. I like, who put me here, right? You have that kind of feeling. I think we have that so many times. I think that feeling comes up when we're a new mom. I think that feeling comes up when anytime you're given something that just doesn't feel right yet, and you haven't fully formed it. But that's also what I felt doing this podcast. I mean, really thinking, oh, like the same questions. Who am I to do this? You know, all those kinds of things I think initially have popped up throughout this journey. But it's been really amazing to see how I've been able to quiet that and actually lean in a different direction. I think one is just not taking myself too seriously. I think that's been one of the first things, right? Just saying, this is for fun. This is something I'm going to do because I enjoy the topic of mental health. And I just think this is something kind of cool to do. For those that don't know, my husband actually is a huge piece of this whole thing. And he's, you know, photographer. So he's into this whole setup, right? And I say that even for my counseling, like he really helps me have a good backdrop, and he's just helped so much. So it's also been just something fun to do together, right, as a couple, and be able to do more things like as a team. So finding those things that are more, with more levity, right? I'm not making this so serious and so life or death. I think that's really helpful. If I think back to me, even just 5 years ago, 8 years ago, I think I took myself too seriously, right? Everything had to be perfect, or everything had to go a certain way. A lot of that came from a bit of a fixed mindset, right? That if things didn't go exactly how I pictured it, or if things didn't go exactly how I thought success looked like, right? Then I would completely want to throw the whole thing away. And it's just not how life works. If I continuously have to just shut down everything that isn't perfect, I'm not going to get anywhere, right? I'll take one step forward and 10 steps back. But being able to just have fun, enjoy, I think that was one of the first things. And so when things started to happen, like people would tell me how they're impacted by the episodes or, those kinds of things, it really shocked me, if I'm honest, because I didn't go in with this expectation that it had to be this way. And so I think that's something that's really important with imposter syndrome, is go in with this sort of, I have a client, I'm going to mention some of the things he says, because there's just the quips, because they really do sit with me. Now, one thing that he told me is that his sponsor actually says, try things on an experimental basis. Like, just try it. There's no expectation. There's no must at the end of this, right? Just try it. And I think that's something, I love that statement, because I think that's how, if we can approach life that way, I'm just going to try it on an experimental basis. How many things will we open ourselves up to, right? We constantly, I think, shut things down. We constantly say no to ourselves because we have so much pressure that it has to turn out a certain way. That's just not, there is no reason for that, right? There's so much that can happen just by taking one step forward and enjoying that one step, right? And so with this podcast, I've really kind of taken it one episode at a time, one moment at a time, to say, what could this be? Maybe it doesn't have to be anything, but the idea, when someone said that they were impacted or that it motivated them or that, you know, whatever, you know, feedback I got, it was just icing on the cake, because I already was enjoying it. I already had you know, very little pressure I was putting on it. And I think that really helped. When I look back to situations, and I mean, I'm not perfect because there's things now that I'm struggling with about this that, you know, are not about the podcast, right? So I'm not saying I'm perfect at this, but there's things where, yeah, I put so much pressure on myself that my anxiety just goes through the roof because I have so much expectation that it has to look this way. And if it doesn't go exactly as I plan, then I crumble, right? Now, I know I just said I'm, you know, 5 years ago, 8 years ago, that's what I used to think. I still struggle with that, right? Because it's all a work in progress. But I will say 10 years ago, Ashley, I would have struggled with that 9 times out of 10. Well, now maybe I can say I struggle with it maybe 3 times out of 10. I don't know. I would have to probably sit back and think how much I've actually changed. But I do think it's been significant enough that that's not my everyday, right? That when those kinds of situations pop up and I get so stressed about it looking a certain way, those things happen a little bit less frequently. But yeah, it used to happen all the time. And I think taking a lighter view of things, using humor, a bit of just like being relaxed, saying those kinds of pieces. I know it's easier said than done, but it did take a lot of work to get to this point. I think taking an approach, even just in a small way, will go a long way. So those are a few really cool surprises. I think another big surprise I had with this podcast is realizing as a therapist how different this is. And my therapist friends who are listening, I call you all friends, even though I may not know you, but my fellow therapists out there, I know this will make sense. So in session, the idea is that I'm not bringing myself into this, right? If a client comes and says, oh, I had a really hard day today, I cannot come and say, oh, me too. My day was really bad. If I say that, my client's going to be like, okay, you owe me for this session, right? I'm not going to pay you for this session. I can't do that. I can't join in this back and forth, right? And so even when a client says, hi, how are you? I'm not going to honestly say, oh yeah, like I had all these things happen. It's not the time and place for that, right? And I know I do have clients who would love to, you know, want to engage. I know me as a client, I definitely have felt moments where I'm like, oh, I want to give back to my therapist. You know, she's done so much for me. I also want to like give her something, you know, that people pleaser in me is doing that. But a little bit also of just wanting to exchange, right? Like I feel this relationship and I want to have it go back and forth. So I think that's pretty natural. But I will say, when it comes to this idea of how, sorry, in a later podcast, I'll talk about this, but my ADHD definitely is signaling. I think there's some noise outside and I've lost my train of thought. So let me get back to what I was saying. It's so interesting how, like, you know, with ADHD, we can lose our train of thought, but we can lose attention when other people are talking, but we can also really we also stop paying attention to ourselves too. So let me backtrack. Oh yes. Talking to clients and sharing about ourselves. So what's been really interesting about this podcast is that I am fully aware that my clients might be listening to this. And I know of some clients who have listened to this. And I think that knowledge was so, I don't know if the word frightening is accurate. I think it was very like, oh, is this allowed? I think that was my reaction. Am I allowed to do this? Will this impact them? Because one of the beautiful things about therapy is I can just be a blank wall. You know, I'm just whatever they need me to be, I can be that. I remember way back in the day, I had a client tell me that she pictured me as someone who like bungee jumps and someone who skydives and does all these things. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that's Paul. I can't even roller coasters. Like, I have to really be convinced. Anyway, but I can be that. I can be whoever you need me to be. Like, that is kind of the cool thing about therapy, is I can be that person for my clients. And so I did think, oh my goodness, like, is this allowed? Is this going to be beneficial for them? But I actually got some good feedback from my clients. And I think maybe there is something beautiful about hearing from your therapist. And what I will say, another piece to having a platform like this, I can't go on these long monologues with my clients, right? I can't just go into a soliloquy and just talk about shame and talk about, you know, imposter syndrome and just for an hour session, give them my thoughts, right? That's not the purpose of therapy. Even with a psychoeducation session, you're going to have back and forth. You're going to process. And that's really the benefit. I can't just do this, right? But I feel so, it feels so wonderful to have a space just to be able to say, yeah, here are my thoughts about this subject. And my clients will come to me and say, oh, I read this book and this thing helped me. Or I listened to this podcast from another person and it really impacted me. And they'll come to me and we'll process it in therapy. So it's just really great to be a part of another avenue where people can experience change. I think that's really wonderful. And so that's another thing with the imposter syndrome. Yes, I have these thoughts of, oh my gosh, my skin looked really bad in that video. I will never wear that sweater ever again. Oh, I really need to put eyeliner on. Like, I definitely have those thoughts that come up for me. I'll also have thoughts of, you know, if anyone's an Office fan, I often actually relate to Michael Scott. And one thing he does that I definitely do, and I really try and catch myself and try not to do it in this podcast, but I will often use very big words. And a lot of the time I'm like, did I use that correctly? Was that the right way of saying it? I really try not to do that. So I've done that before. I've used words incorrectly in this podcast. And so I'm constantly thinking, you know, and like worrying. So that those moments will come up, but what I do to combat it is what am I getting out of it? Is the benefit outweighing? Is it worth those moments of second guessing and embarrassment? Do I like to hear my voice? Not really. Do I like to? I mean, who does, right? Honestly, who likes to hear their own voice? Do I like to? Yeah, just, you know, all these things. How cringy. There's so much cringe moments that I've experienced in this whole process. But it feels worth it. It really does. And so I think lean into those things. When you experience that imposter syndrome, you know, when you experience that self-doubt, ask yourself, is it worth it? What are the things that are actually beneficial about what you're stepping into? I'm sure there are so many things that you're getting out of what you're doing. And it really just takes that moment of what is my why? What is my reason? And I think taking that in is so powerful. I think there's nothing, anything worth doing is difficult in its own way. But what we have to ask ourselves is it worth it? So I have a lot of, you know, goals moving forward with this podcast, a lot of ideas, and I continue to take the approach of just allowing one door to stumble into one door after the other and see where this takes me. I think that is the best way to handle a lot of things in my life. So thanks for going on this journey with me. I hope we continue to see where this takes us as we grow and change together. Thank you. Bye. Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed today's content, tune in for our next episode. Don't forget, subscribe and share with your friends and family. Until next time, stay compassionate.